This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Horror Football Podcast. I got Jeremy Moss here going solo once again as our buddy Matt Kennerly still figuring out his East Coast moving internet. It could take a week or two depending what provider's out in the area, but you got me once again going solo to chat about week zero. Oh, yeah, week zero. But first, MWR.com. Find our bowl reactions. Yeah, I'm already doing bowl previews every week for the season bowl projections, I should say. We got winners and losers that just posted out there. I took over for Matt this week. We got recaps. We have all sorts of stuff going on. Top 50 countdown. We had to hustle to finish out, boy. That was a little interesting thing going on to finish that up. I think I finished up late Friday night. But Torrey Horton, Rams wide receiver, number one on the list overall. Argue with us, fight with us. That's good. Go through and check those out. It's interesting. We have a pinned tab on the, a drop down menu at the top. We also have like a pinned article with the top 50 list. Go check that out. Argue and fight it with us at MWC Wire on Twitter. It's a perfect place to do so. But we had games. Week zero was here. Three games. Not a ton going on, but there was a good amount going on because I don't care. Football's back. We saw people on Twitter. I talked about in the preview podcast momentarily. Guys like, well, it's just you're a sicko if I get the games. Like, it's football. It doesn't matter. I watched a little bit of everything. I watched Jacksonville State for a bit. Beat up by UTEP. I did not watch Notre Dame. Yeah, I said Notre Dame, whatever. Versus Navy, because I knew that would be a blowout. But we watched our Mountain West games. It was great. We are here. We're going to recap the couple of games. So this will be kind of a quick-ish recap. We had three games. That's all we got. It's not going to be the Big 12 game or hour and a half show me and Matt will be doing. And I think our plan is going to be somewhere along the lines of like a Wednesday, Sunday, midday. Wednesday, depending on what Thursday games, I'm not sure there's many, but that's kind of our schedule, probably Wednesday, Sunday, preview, recap type stuff. But let's just get to it. We got games, so I know not everybody thought, oh, all 12 teams, not everybody's playing. That's fine. The first game, this is a game was not just for Mountain West, but kind of the nation to see a couple of things going on. It was on the Hidden Gem, if I want to say gem, but the, I don't want to call it the Death March of the Pac-12 Network. That won't be long, much longer after this year with the Pac-12 basically being poof, done. You had USC hosting San Jose State. Yeah, it was 56-28. There's more to the story than it being a blowout of this game. There's a lot to like from San Jose State, and maybe not a lot to not like for USC. I know they play Nevada later on. I think it's actually next week, but that's going to be even a worse blow. Yeah, that's next week. So that's it's not going to be a good one. But for this game itself, it was close. It was 7-0 at halftime, 7-0 first quarter, 21-14 halftime. Spartans just couldn't go toe-to-toe, which makes sense. It's not the end of the world. But a couple things to notice, like Shavon Cordero, yeah, there's a reason he's preseason offensive player of the year. He had three touchdowns, made a big deep plays, only 200 yards, couldn't go deep all that often. He had, like, his longest pass was to a Nick Nash, we'll get to him momentarily, 32 yards for a score. But he was able to buy time, he was able to run, he's able to make plays on his feet. And what people wanted to see was like, okay, this USC defense, what do they got? Well, they made some plays. But one thing we noticed, or I noted in the preview, was like how many turnovers they caused. They were plus like what, 1.5 per game. They were legit dominant in turnover margins, one of the best in the country. They did not get a single fumble or turnover. They did no turnovers, no interceptions, no fumbles, nothing against San Jose State. So that's good for the Spartans. They were able to go toe-to-toe in the first half. They got the ball first, didn't score, but they scored a couple in the second quarter. But a couple things we noticed was that was when you watch USC's defense, which, okay, Alex Grant say tackle, not tackle. It's so weird. Look at our buddy stuff at TrojansWire.com, so check them out for anything about this game. They have a ton of coverage, and next week as well. On that third and 20-something long running play, it's like, why is he blitzing like that? It's like, why not just drop deep and let Cordero find some tight end or somebody over the middle that's open for like an 8-yard gain and just tackle him? Like, what's the point of blitzing? Cordero burned them, made them pay for it. It's got a huge first down. Didn't change anything in the game, but it shows a couple things that Cordero can do. Like, he moving his legs, separating the pocket, rolling out, finding guys out there. So the offense played 28 points is good. Give up 56 knock. And one was a special teams touchdown. But one dude, oh my gosh, who was it? The Zachariah Branch, I think it was, for USC. The true freshman from Bishop Gorman. He had an amazing day in his first ever college game. 4 catches, a touchdown, receiving. I think he had a kick return as well. Like, he was, yeah, he had a 96 yarder as well. He returns punts, so he was a tough guy for them to go up against. So Trojans had a good player, and USC or San Jose State had a tough time against him. But the big takeaway for this game, a couple things. Nick Nash, hello, 3 touchdowns, former quarterback, huge game, 6 for 89. I mentioned that 32 long touchdown pass, but he had 1 catch and he had like legit amazing, burned anybody USC tried to put on him. And that's a huge game. Like, you have a reserve, a guy who played quarterback a couple years ago, was more of kind of a dual threat, kind of a, oh, let's go run the ball with him, take the shotgun, do the direct snap type thing, not really throwing the ball. If he's going to be one of their best receivers, you have, that's really good. Like, he came down, like, he is pulling the, what, Ryan Tannehill was to Texas A&M. He's a quarterback, the receiver, went to play QB, obviously, in the NFL, doing quite well. But, like, he was receiver in college for a while, for Texas A&M. Like, Nick Nash, if this is a guy where he can make these plays when they're going up against Oregon, like, they play Oregon State next week, we'll see what happens. It's like, they got DJU and stuff playing over there, Jonathan Smith leading that program as their head coach. But Nick Nash, huge star in this game. Charles Ross had a big game. And also, one thing that we should note, I didn't see why, but San Jose State didn't have Justin Lockhart. Could be probably the best receiver. And so you got Nick Nash out there doing what he did. And that's amazing for if Nick Nash could come to be that 1A guy, possibly. It could be a one-game aberration, but 3 touchdowns, the way he's catching the ball. Once they get Lockhart back in the lineup, like, this could be a legit offense. And also, Utah Tech transfer at running back, they had Quali Conley. And that's something me and Matt discuss all the time. Oh, Kyrie Robinson, can he be consistent? Can he do this? I know it's USC, so I don't want to take too much away when somebody plays amazing or bad. You take a little bit more and they play great. I know they're playing a lot of players in this game because they figured most people knew USC is going to win regardless. They put in their starters or play backups more than normally do just to get them some experience, which is a smart play to do when you are a team that's better. And we know USC is better, and Spartans did cover. So, like myself, you take the plus 31, good to go on that one. Excellent move. But Kyrie Robinson, 9 for 20 and the 1 touchdown. And he had a long of 20, so that's not great overall. But Quali Conley had a huge 57-yarder, only 6 rushes, but 108 yards. He also got a couple passes. So there's a bright spot there where him getting the ball like a 1-2 punch perhaps. And we'll see. I believe he had 1,000 yards at Utah Tech last year. And that's FCS school. Are they FCS? Yeah, they're still FCS. They're trying to move up to FBS in the WAC. But he played with the FCS last year, had a good season with them. And so him coming in and stepping up, having a second running back is really good. And then also one thing I noticed about USC's offensive line, it wasn't that great because San Jose had a couple sacks, a couple TFLs, and I think their offensive line, like, it won't matter in Mountain West play at the moment, but when they play better teams and Caleb Williams sidesteps around, tries to get open because the offensive line isn't all that great, they got some problems. But Trey Smith had a huge game, sack and a half, 2.5 TFLs, so that's for a really good player, one of their best, obviously, defensive linemen. But overall, the game, it's kind of what I expect. I was hoping to be a little bit closer. Take away, if they didn't have special teams touchdown, 28-49. I was hoping a little bit closer. But that third quarter, they came out a little bit slow. USC came out and just like, oh, we're done screwing around. With it being halftime, a one-possession game, 21-14. And that happens. But what doesn't help is punt return for a touchdown right there happened, and that's when USC went up 28-14. They had so there's those type of plays right there. USC, it did go back and forth after that, but it was. It was never really a game. Once it got to return for a touchdown, I'm going to go up 35-21, 49-21, all those type of things. It's a mess. It's not. It wasn't great that second half. Them scoring 3-20, being outscored 21-7. But there's bright spots. So they play Oregon State next Sunday. That's going to be a game to watch. I think it's going to be quite interesting. And the Spartans seem like, I put them at like a dark horse team to win the conference. I don't know if they will. But if they have a second running back in Quali Conley, if they have Nick Nash, who's going to step up and be a legit receiver, they get Justin Lockhart back. Trey Smith's going to be the next defender taking over for guys like Cade Hall and Vlemy Fehoko from last year. There's lots to like in this game. USC is just too powerful, and that's how it went. 56-28, solid performance, scored some points. That's what you wanted to see. That's kind of my main thing. If they can make a couple defensive plays, which they didn't get any interceptions. And what the play kind of stunk for them was when Caleb Williams dropped this bad snap, dropped it, and still chucked it up for a 70-something-yard touchdown. That's not great. That's not a play you want to see. So there's a couple things to shore up, some deep passes, because USC had at least 10 plays over 10 or more yards receiving. So you got to clean that up a little bit. Rushing was okay. They had a bunch of guys get about 5 yards of carry, a few touchdowns. But like Austin Jones had 9 yards of carry. A couple of guys did some pretty good things. So it's a fine game. It was closer than I thought. Score I'm fine with. I was hoping a little bit closer, but that's for that one. 56-28. And I'm not going in time order. I just had this one up first.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I want to talk about it first. Ohio and San Diego State. Oh my gosh. Okay. I had hopes. I had high hopes for this. Okay, San Diego State won. Let's start that way. 2013. This is not how I want to start the game. People are like, you just bash the Aztecs. You hate that team. That's not the case. I was hoping with Ryan Lindley, former gunslinger, throwing the ball for San Diego State about a decade ago, they'd open up the offense a little bit. They were in shotgun more with Jalen Maiden. We figured, okay, they'll use his legs a little bit more. They'll just get the ball to other players down the field. It didn't go all that well. The one bright spot, I will say, for the offense, which is great. The first time they had a 2-touchdown tight end in quite a few years when he had Mark Redmond 5 for 62, a couple touchdowns. Receivers were fine. Like, Mickey Shaw did okay. But the game is like, the running game was like, it was all right. It wasn't what it was. There was a couple big plays early on. But to be honest, the game just kind of boring. It was 10-6 at halftime. Both teams were missing field goals. They win, like, the defense, nobody really stood out. Cody Moon had the fortunate, there was the New Mexico transfer, had the sports like conduct where freaking dude leaves his feet to tackle, go after the quarterback. 11 tackles for him. But one thing that would have literally made a difference, Aztecs could have lost, Curtis Rourke. quarterback, I talked a ton about in our preview. Mac reigning offensive player of the year. Actually, what's he play of the year? I remember he tore his ACL in November. Maybe he still got the award, but I don't recall. But really good quarterback, one of the best in the Mac, one of the best beyond that as well. 8 for 10, 75 yards, left the game with an injury. But their coaching staff, well, it was on, it looks like he was, I'm trying to remember the play. Oh, yeah, he was sacked on a blitz. Coaches are optimistic, not overly concerned, took him out, didn't play play much longer, went to the dark tent out there. Coaches like, Curtis, want to go back in, but Coach Albin's like, you are not, no, you are, nope, you're just sitting the game out. It's a non-conference game, it's not going to impact us if they're going to try to win the MAC that year. But like, Tim Albin's like, nope, we're not dealing with that. We're not going to make a big deal about it. We're just going to chill. We're going to hang on. He was playing quite well. There's a chance that San Diego State could have won the game. Because if you look at their backup quarterback situation, when they brought in, it was C.J. Harris. It could have been better because he had the 3 interceptions. So I apologize to the Aztecs defense. Well, he had the 3 picks he threw. But they were not afraid to throw the ball against that team. Like, they had guys who made plays like Sam Wiglitz, who we discussed in a previous, 100 yards, only one touchdown on the game, and when they completed passes, they're doing well, but like, they threw 41 freaking times. They had Rourke in there, who again, 8 of 10 before he got pulled from the game due to injury. They're just going to check it earlier. Coaches never get into specific, but he's not too concerned about it. They're just playing it safe. That's all what it was. And so, that could have made a difference in the game. So San Diego State's secondary did great. The 3 picks, that was obviously the highlight for them, and that was a way for them to seal the victory because it came down to the end, 13-20, and they got the interception. Like, here's how it went down at the end of the game if you weren't paying attention. It's up 20-6. I'm like, oh, they got this taken care of. They won that nice 6.5-minute drive. They go down the score. Then once Mark Redmond's second touchdown, who was wide open, which like, okay, you're going to drop off coverage when you're at second and goal. It's like, why are you not pressing off the line, Ohio? Bobcats, what are you doing there? So they got the touchdown. Okay, then Ohio does a lengthy drive, 15 plays, goes down the scores. And then San Diego State, this is very interesting play at the end. So it's 4th and 3 at the Ohio 36. And I know they have Jack Brownie who can make field goals, but that would be a 46, 53-yarder when you're up 7. It's like, do you punt? What do you do here? Like, it's a weird, you're in just a weird spot. Say, go for it. And Jalen Maiden just runs for 1 yard up the middle. Mostly it's like, okay, we'll make him go 60-something yards. And they drove a little bit. And then once they got, because they got to San Diego territory and the Aztecs, their own 33, or the Aztecs 33, they got the interception. C.J. Harris had his 3rd of the game. So defense came up big when needed. But man, like, Matt Brown, who I know does extra points, like, it's like freaking watching Iowa football. It's like, oh, give me something there. They were in shotgun, which was great. Jalen Maiden, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 17-27. Looked like a Christian Chapman-esque type of game. Only 164 yards. But when it came down to it, like, Jalen Armstrong looked good running the ball. Only 8 attempts, but half his yards came in one play. They did have Keenan Christian, did pretty well. About 4 yards a carry. So running game wasn't bad. This is just a typical San Diego State game. And I was just hoping, man. Guys, just give me something to, I have faith in Maiden. Like, watching what he did last year when he came over from a DB to play quarterback. Give him something to do. Like, Aztecs weren't productive on 3rd down, 4-13. The last 4th down conversion, like, whatever, 1 of 2, I don't really count it too much. Penalties weren't that big a deal. But, again, the 3rd down conversion was just not good. And that's a problem. And Ohio's a good team, so this is not like, oh, they barely beat up on a bad team. Ohio wants to win the MAC this year. And I guess, overall, it wasn't terrible. They shut down for field goals, and they have Browning. Like, let him kick the ball. Definitely let him do it. 2 for 3, made long a 49-yarder. So we know he can make plays, but they need to throw the ball a bit more. And Cody Moon had 11 tackles, who I mentioned had the penalty on him. But there was not much. There's only 2 sacks, 3 TFLs, nothing crazy against him. But the secondary just took care of business and picked off any attempt C.J. Harris had to do, which is why I think if they had Rourke in the game for Ohio, could have been a different story when Aztecs play a team with a more experienced quarterback and not a guy coming off the bench who goes 18-41. Because Ohio was not afraid to challenge a secondary. Maybe they should have been because of 3 picks. And so that's the thing where they probably should not have done that throw it so many times. Because it's only a 7-point game. They're running in like Sia Bangura, apologies if that's incorrect, did okay. 65 yards and 15 carries. You had O'Shawn Allison, who had about the similar production on per-play basis, but Aztecs just kind of stuffed anything Ohio wanted to do. And again, that's not a bad thing to have a defensive team just to beat the crap out of somebody, which they did. But I just want San Diego State to give me a few more points. That's all I'm asking for, people. And then there's people complaining to the stadium, not very full, not this, not that. I don't know to tell you, people. I'm not from San Diego, but it's nice weather. Not as hot as last year. I've heard parking's ridiculously expensive. I think somebody said $45 to park. I'm like, that's a lot. And there's a million things to do at San Diego. Like, people say, oh, there's the beach, there's this taco thing, there's a surf competition. I get it. And the hope lies with their not playing in the gigantic Qualcomm, Jack Murphy, whatever you want to call it, whatever it was a couple years ago. I forget the name that got exploded. That was like 80,000. So even if they packed in 40, it looked empty. This 30-something thousand didn't look big either. And so I don't know what to tell Aztec fans. Like, you get to win. Who cares? Like, who cares? Shut people out. You win 2013. Won defensively. Yeah, everyone wants your offense to be better. But they played well enough to win. They got Idaho State next week. They host UCLA and Big Boy CBS. So we'll see how that game goes in a couple weeks because Bruins have a new quarterback of their own taking over for DTR. So that's something to look forward to down the road. But just give me some offense next week for Idaho State and kind of get things going. And I think there's a good base here because the main thing, for what we've seen in Aztecs historically, when they're really good, don't turn the ball over, efficient on offense, and a very, very good running game. All they missed for this week was a very, very good running game. Because Jalen Armstead did fine, but half his yards came one play. I know they'll count, people, but I want something a bit more consistent. And maybe Mading can get to 200 yards a game or something like that. If they wanted to go to that blueprint with Christian Chapman, if they're doing that, they got to have a better running attack. That's about all I got to say. All right, final game of the weekend we're talking about. Again, this is going to be a quick podcast. I know I speak fast, so I apologize if you're rolling this on 1.4 speed. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. That probably ruined everything for you. Vanderbilt 35, Hawaii 28, Hawaii Warriors all the way out in the islands, away from the islands, excuse me, not in the islands. Oh, man, this game, 35-28, wasn't looking great when they're down 21-14, down 14-7 the first quarter. First off, the camera angles, man, what is going on? Like, I know they're under construction, like, there's the construction zone in the far right corner. I was chuckling watching any extra pointer field goal that bounced. You see the ball bounce off the scoreboard, which, oh, by the way, was being held up by cranes. That was in the eyesight or the view side of watching games wasn't great because there was a scoreboard. If you haven't seen the videos, go look it up. Construction stuff in the end zone, scoreboard being held up by cranes, and then the visiting locker room for Hawaii was tense. So that's how 4-Chow came out to be. But one good thing about this game is a lot of proceeds went toward the Maui Strong Fund to help with the wildfire relief out in Hawaii. So that's obviously a great positive in this game. And the game itself, Braden Schrager looked really good and also not good. So the biggest play of the game for me that made a big difference was that first off, they called it a touchdown. It was a long play. They called it a touchdown, but Hawaii player fumbled it at like the half-yard line. You can't advance a fumble in college, which is weird, whatever, but it was recovered in the end zone. Unless it's the same player that picks up, I believe that's the correct rule. So that was at the half-yard line, no touchdown, which would have been great. There's about 6 minutes left in the first quarter. I believe there's a false start, so at the five. Schrager throws a badly underthrown fade, down 7 points. Hope Vanderbilt gets the ball. Not to say that made the make or break the game. There were two picks overall. But that's a key point. But a couple of things that were great, like Schrager was chucked about 350 yards. Hello, receiver, who is it here? Pofel Ashlock, trying to say these names, new names, right? 127 yards. Stephen McBride, 98 yards, two touchdowns. Those two guys had about 215, 220 yards on the day receiving. They had three touchdowns. Running game is non-existent. It's like Tyon Hines, which we expected to play well in this new run-and-shoot offense, where I know last year he averaged about 7-8 yards per carry, but on few attempts. He only had 9 attempts, 15 yards, not great. But the game itself, one of the best things in the game, Braden Schrager is going to be a really, really good quarterback, which I've known, because him being an experienced signal caller there. And to me, changing year two, it's like, okay, what type of step are they really going to take, people? What are they going to do? And man, that rush defense was legit. I know it's Vanderbilt, so whatever. They held them to 1.9 yards per attempt. Their leading rusher, Patrick Smith, had 30 yards on 7 carries and a long of 21. They were just beating the crap out of that Vanderbilt offensive line to get into the backfield. There were 3 sacks, 9 TFLs. Andrew Choi had a big day. Isaiah Tufaga had a big day with 3 TFLs. You had a huge game up front on the defensive line, just stopping what anything Vanderbilt wanted to do. And yes, AJ Swan played well, had 3 touchdowns, no picks. Did okay, just over 50%. And they had a couple. The big part of the second, like the secondary, man, I thought like Cam Stone or those type of guys, they'd be really good back there. But man, Cam Stone did TFL, but he's getting beat down the field. They had 8 passes over 10 or more yards. They had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 over 20 plus. So that the deep ball was an issue against this Hawaii secondary, and that's a problem. So when they play teams, like AJ Swan's a pretty good quarterback, but when Hawaii goes up against teams that are going to, you know, throw the ball down the field, I'm trying to double check their schedule here. But when they're playing, let's see, Oregon. Okay, they're going to lose that regardless. When they're playing, actually, this may not be that big a deal for a while because they got Oregon and Bo Nix, obviously, really good. Mexico State lost to UMass, not great. UNLV, Doug Brumfield could be interesting. But for teams that historically throw the ball a lot, like San Diego State, we just mentioned, no, not the case. Then you have San Jose State. Yeah, they'll throw a lot. And then you have CSU. So that secondary made not be too big of an issue. It may hurt them when they're playing teams that can't, that shouldn't be expected to throw the ball well, but then they do. So that's a big concern. But back to the quarterback play for the other team, Schrager in Hawaii, like he had the game-sealing interception, which I did our winners and losers. I'm like, I could put him winner. He had a really, really good game, but that one interception in the first quarter, not great at all. And then when Hawaii's trying to drive the end of the game, they get to pick, the game gets picked off to basically they're driving down the field. I think it was Dalen Morris who got the interception on that last drive. Not great, but the performance is good. Like, dude, last year they lost by 50 freaking points to Vanderbilt at home. They come out on the road. Yeah, it's Vanderbilt, not the best team in the SEC, projected to finish quite low. But there's a lot of stuff you like about this game. The only thing I'd like to see better is a little bit better from Schrager to not throw the ball away on those bad passes for interception. There was, I think, was there special teams touchdowns? I'm trying to remember, which is the couple of games we saw. Yeah, there was a kick return, which didn't help. 97-yarder by JD McGowan there. That was a big blow. And just a couple small things here and there. Run the ball a little bit better. But, dude, Schrager's offense, 350 yards? Whew, give me 27 and 35, only 8 incompletions, 2 were picks. That is really good. So he's going to be a guy to reckon with. And they get whatever, whoever they play, when they play all these teams, when they play Stanford, when they play the rest of the Mountain West, San Diego State, when they're playing Air Force, Wyoming will be interesting. And up front, the defense, yeah, 35 points when you have a special team score. And that doesn't help. But the secondary is the biggest concern. I have secondary for Hawaii, and they're running the ball more consistently. Clean those up. They had a chance. Like, they were in this game. Couple plays here or there. They weren't great on third down, 3 of 11. I do love the aggressiveness on 3 or 4 and fourth down. They were obviously -2 turnovers, a few more penalties than you'd like, but there's a lot to like about this Hawaii team. And maybe Vanderbilt only went 3 games, but I'm just thinking about what they can do and what Hawaii's shown. Like, play this way for Stanford? Stanford ain't getting off the bus. Like, they're going to smoke Troy Taylor and Stanford. They got not much going on. Let me just double check. They play the late game next week. Right now, the new FPI has Stanford only 55% chance to win that game. So there's legit possibilities where they're going to come in versus Stanford, host them, and get a win over a soon-to-be former Pac-12 team, however you want to call it. But I did like what I saw in Hawaii, even though in the loss. Like, there's a lot to like with San Jose State, San Diego State. There's always things here or there to get to. But, man, we are here. Week 0 is in the books. Again, told you, this will be a quick one. It's not even 30 minutes, folks. Unless I can ramble about something else, we'll see. Probably not. But all the games are great. Like, watch, like, again, all these games are awesome. Just take in as many games you want. Find a team you don't typically root for. Like, oh, I'm going to watch this game this week. But it's a good start for the Mountain West, non-conference play. They get the Ohio win. They did go 1-2, losing a couple of power conference teams. But they held themselves a lot, because I was listening to some other podcasts, and the big questions, ooh, what's USC going to do? What are they going to do? And San Jose State proved against USC what people thought, that they're not great defensively. They have offensive line issues. But then again, they can score a ton of points on offense and have some great new talent, like their true freshman receiver, Zach, from Bishop Gorman, was it Zachariah? Something, I don't have his name in front of me. I don't care at the moment. Apologies for them and their family if I'm disrespecting you and you're listening to this. But, man, it was a good week, appetizer to set the table for week one and beyond. So we'll be back next week, again, a couple days, probably Wednesday-ish, to preview these games. Hopefully Matt's all settled in, and you can hear him and me chatting about these games. But check us out, MWR.com. We got all the stuff up on the site, predictions, previews, bowl news, all that type of stuff. Yeah, bowl news, it's early, I know. We'll have stuff like, I totally forgot. We do winners and losers every week. Matt put that out. I'm going to try to do our quarterback ranking all year long, and that takes some time. So I'm going to hopefully work on that pretty soon to get that going middle of the week. But I appreciate everybody who listens to the show. Again, Twitter, MWCWire, MWR.com as the website. And football's here. We're back. And we'll see you next week talking week one with a full slate of games.